Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Wow, a victory for Roma. We were beginning to forget what it felt like, but they did it. They did it in the Europa League too, no less, Andy, their first win in the Europa League thus far this season before popping the champagne. I feel like I should play that Marco Violi gif of him opening up the champagne. That is akin to
the one where he goes, hey.
Yeah. Yes, I know there's a full library. It's always difficult to know which one because it does. There's a gif for every single emotion from that guy that we could use before getting into all of that. Patrons, thank you for your support. Patreon.com/RomaPress. If you'd like to join, be the first to get access to the episodes and also other things as well. I'm about to put something out in regards to Antonio Conte and what he is doing at Napoli and why this bastard seems to... Have you taken the time to know that this is like the third or fourth time where he goes into a relatively big club and they don't have to worry about multiple competitions? Because didn't he have that? He had it at Juve. He had it at Chelsea too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And
yes.
Now it's Napoli.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm beginning to think he understands that there is,
he knows the assignment. You know, he knows the assignment. He knows this his strong suit. So, you know, and if you add to that a really nice, helpful schedule that sort of made it possible for him to slot in as smoothly as possible in this Napoli reality, there you go. That he's your man.
I mean, for me, there always seems to be a method to his madness. I'll be getting into that. Patreon.com/RomaPress at IS Roma Press on YouTube. Like, subscribe. We would greatly appreciate it because it helps us enjoy moments like this where, Andy, I don't want to downplay.
Wait, victory. did you enjoy it? No, okay. Okay,
you're well, gonna, no. Well,
there listen, you go. You're about to spin it negatively. I thought you were going to be... okay. I thought you were going to be a bit overly cheerful about this, but no, you...
No, listen. When it comes to Roma, you never pick and choose when to feel happy of victory. You doing so just, I think, shows how spoiled we can be. You can't, regardless of who they play, you can never just diminish any victory when it comes to Roma. Let me attempt to rain on the parade just very slightly. Let's put up the numbers just to see what today looked like. So they win 1-0. The XG, I don't even know what to say. I don't know how to make myself feel better about it. I don't know how to paint a more rosy of a picture than what we have here. Because, again, they do win. They get the victory. They dominate the possession. Plenty of shots. By the way, this is not going to help that stat that you have now had me fixated on the number of shots required per goal. By the way, also not counting or I suppose not wanting to highlight the fact that the long goal tonight comes on penalty. Oh, almost 20 shots. They had plenty on target. And they created, as the XG says, more than enough. And yet, 1-0. The reaction I have from tonight is beyond the... Is elated too strong? Maybe it is, but I am elated. They won. It's the first victory of the Europa League. I felt like, let me pull out the metaphors now because I was watching a true crime documentary on this. I felt like I was watching, or Roma, I should say, feels like they are the footballing embodiment of the incel. Yeah? It does not take it's not this difficult to score. It's not. It's not. Do you know how just you it can happen by accident? It can happen in the most random of ways with very little skill involved. And yet, Roma cannot score. This is an exercise, Andy, in how far, I am telling you, how far we are willing or can be subjected to frustration, footballing torture, because, man, it seems like the only way they will find the back of the net is via penalty, or if they physically pick up the ball into their arms and cross the net and hope nobody sees it. Beyond that, I cannot fathom why it is so difficult for them to put the ball into the basket. Again, like much like the incel movement, you know, they complain about how things are and you watch them and
wow,
you
think I didn't expect it is it is I didn't not, expect you to have a serious social critique linked with Roma. There are academic studies on the incel movement, and here you are just like throwing it out there, you know, for everybody.
Well, I'm trying to use the word score too, and that makes me think of Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
Sure.
One of the crown jewels of the 90s.
Sure.
It is not just one step outside and you mm-hmm. can see it can happen to anybody and everybody. It takes very little skill. It takes very little personality, character. Anybody can do it. Okay. Roma, it is not this difficult. You had an article the other day that you published that this is the worst Roma scoring record since 2010-2011, which in the power ranking of most torturous seasons to endure, that one is among the most underrated because there are several factors we can go down the list as to why. That is when we are treated to the likes of Marco Borriello. That is when we get Montella coming in. And doing a relatively okay job in his interim capacity, but just from beginning to end, a death march. I am frightened by the prospect of I am looking at the calendar, 24th of October in the evening. We are recording this, so
yes, sir.
Still October.
Yes, sir.
Having to do this,
yeah.
6 to 7 more months is frightening. But I look at them, Andy, and their inability to score. It's not this difficult.
It is, John. It is because there is more to it. There is more to it than actually kicking the ball, John. Otherwise, Juan Manuel Iturbe should have been the greatest player to ever wear this kit. You know, the guy should have done exactly what he did at Hellas Verona, where he was king. Okay, where him and Luca Toni were ripping the league apart. Yes, as soon as he comes to Roma, it's not that he can't take a shot on goal.
Another Marco Violi, one of my favorite others. I mean, come on, one of the best that he has out there. I use that.
Yeah, one of the best. One of it.
But no, I mean, come on, man.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying if. I never thought that someone like Ivan Juric, and especially a coach of Ivan Juric's style of play, can come into Roma and have this team clicking from the get-go. What I expected from Juric was to impart some sort of sense of organization. Because mind you, when Daniele De Rossi was here for the four match days, the team was all over the place. With the exception of perhaps the match against Juve, where it was a very balanced sort of nervous game of two teams really going at it and more or less playing the same way. The other three games against Cagliari, Empoli, and Genoa, Roma were all over the place. What I expected from Juric was to give that compactness. Okay, I never thought that Juric is the kind of guy who can walk into this team and teach them how to score the ball effectively, consistently in a matter of weeks. In my opinion, Juric is the manager who needs quite a bit of time, especially if you consider what this team was doing before he came and what he is known for. His entire philosophy goes against what we were trying to do with De Rossi. And it was always going to be difficult. Mind you, this team wasn't even scoring in the first games. I mean, remember Roma-Cagliari, sterile. Roma-Empoli, sterile. Roma-Juve, sterile. Roma-Genoa, sterile. That's a running theme that we've been carrying since preseason. And I share this worry with you because I do think it's a real problem of this team not scoring.
There are a lot of people, a lot of the Patriots were complaining about the lack of goals. And they are attributing too much of it, in my opinion, to Juric. I want to at least expand upon that just slightly further because it's not as if, Andy, as you mentioned, granted the sample size of this season alone with Daniele De Rossi was not enormous. It is not as if even in the latter, do we remember the latter stages of the previous season? Roma were not.
Yeah, terrifying. It was actually quite terrifying how big of a step back that team took in terms of also just energy levels in going forward. They didn't have any. Yes. In fact, if you remember that last match against Empoli, the last match of the season, the team was lost. The team was lost, didn't know what to do with the ball. They were being run off the pitch by Empoli. Empoli, who saved themselves on the last match. So this is, yes, it is a running theme. The problem is, as you say, that we are in October. On one hand, we still have, as you say, 6-7 months to go. On the other hand, it's about time that we resolve this issue because it is an issue. If you come away tonight with just one goal to your name and it's a penalty against Dinamo Kiev at home, playing in the Stadio Olimpico, then you know you have a problem. And although it is a victory, it means that Roma still have a lot of symptoms of a sickness that they've been carrying for months.
I would feel far... I would at least be able to pin down what the issue was. I won't say I'd feel better. Obviously, I'd feel worse. But if they had less shots on goal, we would at least be able to draw a line to, well, they're not creating enough shots, therefore they're not scoring many goals. So clearly the technical decisions being made in the attacking department are incorrect and need to be resolved immediately. It's actually, I mean, Andy, almost 20 shots tonight. They're shooting plenty.
They're shooting, and mind you, I mean, if you think about Eldor Shomurodov, it was right there for the taking. It was like, what was it, like a meter away? I mean, it was right there for the taking to double your lead. That right there is a ball that I think in any other circumstance, you'll score it. It's just that right now, as Milos Vyar said after Inter, it seems like he said the god of football doesn't want Roma to do well. And it really, despite all these shortcomings that this team has, it still feels like there is some deity up there that just, it's the best interest of it at heart is to see Roma do bad. Because tonight, that miss by Shomurodov, all those chances, I thought Pellegrini was one of the best performers tonight, coming into in the second half. Tommaso Baldanzi also very free-spirited, very energetic, a nice welcome sight. The problem is, once again, you close this match by bringing in the heavy hitters. Paulo Dybala, Lorenzo Pellegrini. The message is clear, as in the message
Man, you are right, by the way. To add what you've said before, that is so deflating when you see them coming on against the likes of Dynamo Kiev.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, listen, I mean, you always have this happen to teams, but the thing is, when they come on, you know what they're going to get. So, you know, for example, someone like Pellegrini will get booed immediately. second of all, you know exactly what the situation is. At this point in time, we know that when you bring those guys off the bench, it means one thing. It means that you're struggling. It means that you're not certain of your determination to win it. So once again, it's just sort of, it defines the moment that Roma are living in. And it's a moment where nerves are tense. You know, there's a lot of tension. Everybody is, afraid of making a mistake. If you think about the misplaced pass by Insulife, that almost costs you. And that's the fear. Like that's right there is the fear that, you know, it should be normal for a player like Insulife, who has missed almost 2 months due to a severe knee sprain, to be able to, you know, go out there and make the occasional mistake. But at this point in time, John, the margin of error is so minimal that he makes that one mistake and the implications of it could have been enormous, right? Because imagine if you come away from this match with a 1-1 result. Oh. Trigoria is being set on fire by tomorrow morning. Like that's what I think is that certain things are okay. Like Insulife, it's normal. You miss almost 2 months of playing time. You want to get into the flow of things, you are going to get some things wrong. But the problem is that right now, Roma can't afford to have that. The players know that. The players feel it. It's palpable. If someone like Eldor Shomurodov, who comes off the bench, almost never plays, comes off the bench and has that miss, and you feel it, like you felt the air go out of the Olimpico right then and there, like, oh man, like you could have doubled the lead. Like, it's impossible. It almost you start to believe it, that it's impossible to score. It's impossible to do well. It's impossible not to make mistakes.
Well, and to add to that too, every time there is a misplayed pass, it is not normal for it's not a normal reaction for all of us to feel or for all of us to expect a goal. Because at least this season thus far, and perhaps Roma are more prone to this in terms of mistakes leading directly to goals. But this season, for sure, it just seems like every single, no matter how banal the mistake seems, they are punished. So when Lafay when he makes that mistake with the pass, I think all of us collectively went, oh, it's happening. I can't believe it. It's happening again. It's not normal to have that because every team, no matter how great, how bad, every single team makes mistakes. It just seems the rate at which Roma are punished for their mistakes is
exactly like because inevitable. And also because you just come away from the match against Inter where you made one mistake, one serious mistake, and it cost you the game. That was the game right there. And that one mistake by Zaleski and Celik, you lost. So tonight it was the same. It almost felt like, oh my God, is this Groundhog Day? Is this what I was going to go down? That Insulife, who's come back after 2 months, first time starting since August, and he slips up, he makes that one simple mistake. That happens. But the consequences of it would have been unfathomable, given the moment that we're in, given what the stakes are, given that you are still winless in the Europa League, it could have been terrifying. So I think overall, if you think about the changes that took place, so overall, it's a positive result in the sense that you had Baldanzi play, you had Pizzilli play alongside Baldanzi, so you tried something new. You had Kone in the midfield with Lefebvre, that's also new. Overall, that's positive. That's good. I mean, that's the step in the right direction. It's what we talked about in the last episode, where you want to shake things up, and you know, relying on the same old will drive you no place. Will have you hitting the brick wall time and time again. But at the same time, this entire performance was once again cloaked in this veil of insecurity and fear of the unknown, of the error, of the consequences of a common mistake. So we are once again subjected to watching a team that is terrified of its own shadow. And that's why you're watching Roma struggle to go beyond a 1-0 win off a penalty against Dinamo Kiev at the Stadio Olimpico.
Well, let's talk about the good then. Huh? There was some good. I mean, Roma did win the way we are talking on here. Somebody just messaged to me. They said, you got to stop being so down. They won. Okay. Okay, sure.
But I just said that, in all of it, we saw some, like, overall, there is good in it. There is good. There was pleasant changes. Dovbyk, once again, Dovbyk with the minimum, with the bare minimum that this team gives him, he still finds a way to make a difference.
He's like, it's Oliver Twist, man. Please, sir, I want some more. And he's barely getting any to begin with.
He's barely getting in. He's like, this is what I can do. Okay, this is what I can do if you just give me a chance. And that's huge. That's huge because you don't want to be in a – the last thing you would need is to be in a situation where Dovbyk is underperforming and you're really having a dilemma between playing him and Shomurodo.
Oh, well, here, I mean, there is, if he underperforms, there's nothing. Then there's no attack.
Then there is nothing. there is absolutely nothing. That's good and bad. That's nice, comforting, and terrifying at the same time. And then we have the good. We have, again, Baldanzi.
Baldanzi was fantastic. He was fantastic. It has seems to be said, man.
Finally, he seems to be waking up this season. You know, it was probably difficult for him to have make that January switch happen. I think preseason definitely helped him a lot. And now he is showing that he can cover multiple positions at once in a moment of need. So that is very welcome. And then you have Pizzilli, who can basically do the same, as in he can be of use to the team in numerous positions, in numerous roles. He's willing. He's not lazy. He works hard. And those are the positives. Those are the positives. The fact that we could give Brian Cristante a rest, we could give Lorenzo Pellegrini a rest, and have Kone and Lefebvre. That's a possibility. So it's not even because, you know, so many people on Twitter or whatever, they're like, oh, why is Juric not doing this? Or, you know, almost like a lineup of Lefebvre, Kone, Pizzilli, Baldanzi was a collective fantasy. But Juric today showed that, no, it's a possibility. It's something that we're willing to explore.
Yeah. And beyond that, too, listen, I am just because I am excited of Ivan Juric being at Roma. I'm not going to, you know, have my lips pried on his backside just to compliment him and not give blame to him when it's warranted. But because I saw several pages, too, there were some taking issue, particularly with the starting formation. Andy, you had Mancini and Sule. They were unavailable today because they were ill. You have to be able to, if you can't rest Paulo Dybala in a match like this at home, then you have to concede you are never going to rest him then. He will never rest then. If you cannot give him a rest at home against a Ukrainian team in the Europa League, then just come out and say it so we can expect him to be there every match, but also at least suffer a 2 to 3 injuries per month. Just stop. What was Juric supposed to do today in terms of the team? Because...
Can I just say something? Because we have to mention this because even as much as I want Juric to do well and I want him to be free of criticism in this difficult moment, the fact that Mats Hummels gave an interview to Corriere dello Sport a week ago where he said, I was ready to play against Monza, but then I got the flu. I'm not going to play against Inter, but I'm definitely going to start against Dynamo Kiev. He said that. He actually said that. He went on record. He gave an interview where he said he will start against Dynamo Kiev, and today he played 0 minutes. It's the 24th of October. Mats Hummels hasn't made his debut for Roma. A guy who he was playing the Champions League final last season, yes? The guy who won best defender of the Champions League right now has 0 minutes in this Roma team. As much as I don't want to pile on to Juric, I think this situation is dragging a bit too long.
Because it's weird, man.
If you're not gonna if you're not going to start him today, when are you going to start? Like, have some respect. Like, this is not Juan Jesus. This is not, you know, this is not some bum off the street. He's not going to be content with just playing 15 minutes in May. You, at some point, you have to play him. This is not a guy that is inexperienced. This is not a kid. Yes. This is a guy who has the ability. I mean, good God, like, and the thing that Juric just now said, you know, that he sees him, he explained that because he sees Hummels just as a central defender, so he sees him playing where Ndika right now plays, and he says, I don't want to take off Ndika right now.
Oh, you're going to have to, because I think he has played or started every single match.
Every single match, played every single match. But also, at some point, I mean, if I'm Hummels, I'm calling up my agent now and I'm saying, get rid of this contract right
now. Yes, why the hell did I do it?
Yeah.
What shocks me, okay? We haven't gone too deep into it. I don't know. I suppose these are uninteresting, but I guess in this moment, it is worth bringing up. Andy, as you can attest, Roma were linked to Hummels for what? 3-4 months, it seems like.
Three, four months, vaguely, yes. Vaguely, and then only to speed up after that, the final week of the transfer window.
Yes, and I just want to attest, because just having met somebody close to him who was involved in the talks, okay? Roma, they were interested the whole time. Hummels was waiting. He wanted to come to Serie A. That was his preference. He was waiting to see Milan, Inter, who was going to reach out to him. And then Bologna, he was interested. They did offer to him a contract, and he was interested in that because they were playing in Champions League. And then Roma, in the last minute, in the last 3 to 4 days of the market, they ramp it up, and we see what happens. Yeah, we see him ultimately come alongside Hermoso, and it seems like Roma did a real good double coup, so to speak, in terms of free transfers. Two veteran defenders, champions. And for him, because he was going to go to Bologna. He was ready to go to Bologna, and then Roma came in, and the contract offer as far as wages goes was more enticing, more attractive than that of Bologna. It is so weird to me that they would make such an effort, such a commitment. You know, and he's one of those players, Andy. It's not as if De Rossi or Juric is going to matter, because this is Mats.
No. And also, I understand, like, at the beginning, clearly it was the thing was he's out of shape. But man, we're on the 24th of October. Nobody's out of shape in October. Right now, the excuse is not that he's in shape anymore. So at some point, like,
it's weird.
You can't ignore, like, you know, like, you can, it's not, this is not Vermaelen, okay? This is not, no, really, seriously, this is not Vermaelen, okay? This is a guy who was extremely fit despite his advanced age last season, won best defender of Champions League, was incredible in the Champions League final, was responsible for leading Borussia Dortmund to that final. He's been consummate professional his whole career. He's won everything that you will never win as a club.
Correct.
I can safely say that he's won more trophies than Roma will ever win ever. What are we doing? No, like, because, like, I hate taking up, you know, these, I don't like to bother with these rumors and gossip, but I look at a situation like this and it's objectively bothering me, as in I am bothered in Hummels' name, because this is quite unserious given how bad Roma have been.
Because I have a Mats Hummels shirt sitting wrapped for one of my children. The absolute...
Yeah, like,
in this,
that's
closet here.
That's the thing, John. Is Mancini far from perfect this season? Also out with the flu today. Hermoso has had some trouble slotting in. It's not like Hummels with all his experience, can only play in one single role. It's not like if you put him on the left,
yes,
he will do badly. It's not like if you put him on the right, he will struggle. I mean, so, and it's not like guys like Zaleski, although Juric is a big fan, he applauded him right now as well.
Yeah.
It's not like these guys prevent Angelino from playing further up. So I'm just thinking, situation is bad enough. Okay.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, man. It would be a different story if Gianluca Mancini was setting the world aflame.
Yes.
If he was unstoppable.
And also, if the team really was unstoppable, because he says, I like the defense. Well, Roma are quite unstable. Despite not conceding that many goals, they're still quite unstable at the back. So it's not like we couldn't use the hand of a serial winner, an experienced veteran in this position. So I'm just saying, for the sake of the team, for the sake of the speculation, for the sake of what will happen if this talk around Hummels will continue, for the sake of the player himself who keeps posting stuff on Instagram, make him play, please. Yeah. Make him play in the weekend. I don't care about Fiorentina. I don't care about Palladino. That team sucks. They suck. I don't care what anyone says. They're completely uneven. They're inconsistent. They suck. They're you can't beat them in the weekend. That's the thing, is we can take care of business. And it will not depend on whether Hummels sits or starts. But so have him start. Get it out of your system. Forget about this whole saga. Because Juric has to understand just one thing, is that there is a difference between not caring about the noise and everything, and I'm all for it. But if you start feeding the noise, if you start feeding the media, then it will hurt you. Then it will come back to haunt you. Honestly, that's my advice, because I've seen this happen far too many times. Guy players, coaches who think they are untouchable. That was Luciano Spalletti's whole shtick at Roma. He started out, he was untouchable. He didn't care what anybody said. But slowly and surely, that Totti saga got to him in public. The media managed to turn that against him. Totti turned that against him. And Spalletti lost control of the situation. I'm not saying this is the situation. I'm just saying Roma are in a difficult spot. There is enough talk about the team. So let's try not to make these problems bigger than they actually are. And having Hummels play 45 minutes against Dynamo Kiev wouldn't have hurt anybody. And certainly wouldn't have heard the result.
No, not at all. And to echo what you just said, the problems become especially pervasive when you have a contradiction like this. You can't have the manager saying, well, we are going to count on him. He just needs to get back into shape. And then you have the player himself saying, now, well, I am back into shape and I am going to start in this match. And now it's like a tennis match. Yeah, that's exactly. Remember what it was with Spalletti and Totti, where you have them going back and forth. And then Totti gives that atomic bomb interview where just everything goes, you know, it explodes. That's what could happen here when you have this. He's saying this. He's saying that, and it goes back and forth. And then at some point, things just come to a head, and it becomes a very ugly situation for everybody, and there's no need for it. I also don't understand, by the way, Indica, when you do three at the back, he can play on the left side. You can put Hummels in the middle. Why are those two incompatible? That's what the other part of. Now, I understand if you want to play Angelino, if you want to keep playing him in that sort of hybrid position where he's able to be plays the third central defender, but also has some license to go forward. Okay, fine. But then that means we're also having to slot in Zalewski, who at this point, there's nothing I can say or you can say that hasn't already been said that is anything helpful to add to the conversation surrounding him. So what is this? I mean, Roma has never been a team of riches when it comes to depth. So now we're going to, you know, turn our noses up to Mats Hummels, a guy who, by the way, it's not as if Andy, because I do see there were a couple of the patrons when this got brought up saying, well, he's an old guy. You know, what do you expect? You want him to play every week?
No, but that's another point. And we're the first ones. We're the first ones to never never claim this for any player. Like, to, in my opinion, there's not a single player in here that should be playing week to week, like, that should have a guaranteed spot, and much less Mats Hummels, who is old. But at the same time, it's not like he's unfit. It's not like he's Adriano. This is a guy who will undeniably bring you a lot of quality to the pitch and will bring you what you've been missing, which is stability. In both in the technical sense and in the emotional sense. It's something that we've missed. This team, yes, at the first sign of pressure from the opponent, they start to tremble. They start to lose the ball. They start to make mistakes. How do you avoid that happening? You have to have someone with personality. Who else other than Hummels? So
that was what Bonucci did for the final 3 years of his career. That's all he was. Wasn't that good? All he was a firework on the pitch for Juve. I mean, come on.
I don't want to.
That serves a purpose. I completely agree with you.
You know, like, I don't want to make this an entire segment, but I do think that certain matters must be taken care of. And here, yes, it's not even about pleasing the fans. It's about actually helping the team. You put Mats Hummels in today at halftime, say, for example. What's the worst that can happen? Do you seriously think that there will be a costly mistake because of that? Like, you had today, Roma made 4 changes. I think the last one was somewhere in the 70th minute, something like that. Yeah. So not even that late with Paulo Dybala coming in. I mean, seriously, Mats Hummels also warmed up for 45 minutes. Why?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up before
that's,
we moved.
That's
on.
Adding salt to injury. So I'm just saying, don't for the sake, for really for Juric's sake, for the sake of the team, because I know how this will eventually play out, don't do it. Don't do it, yeah, because it will hurt you in the long run.
It will, and I was going to bring that up. It's so funny you say that, because if Juric thought he was not fit, I mean, that warm-up alone has him ready. I mean, he could walk into Fiorentina and start this weekend. Well, now that we spoke of Hummels, I was going to bring up the ongoing struggles and what they can do in light of the Fiorentina match, but I just want to talk about, let's skip that. Let's go to Fiorentina this weekend. Again, I'm not going to come on here and just as a way to pander and to fill the void in the conversation, try to find means to make it seem as if Roma shouldn't win this match. Fiorentina's crap.
I mean, they should be winning every match. They should be winning every match from now on. That's the thing.
I mean, I look at this Fiorentina and this is the same. It's the same team as when the bald guy was there. The only thing that changed was the manager.
Except for Eduardo Bove, who I'm sure a lot of fans will be crying over and will be praying that he actually scores against Roma so that then the Friedkins can regret their decision even more. I'm sure.
Well, we can save some of those gems, because naturally you have the full force of suspects coming out this week. Going against the Friedkin, saying they don't know what they're doing, which is the timing of this stuff. This is why, you know, this place, you can't help but sometimes roll your eyes. The ones who, particularly former players, it drives me mad. Like Nainggolan coming out and doing that interview, and his twin sister watches our podcast, so I'm going to be careful and I don't want to anger them. So I won't get personal, but how stupid is it to come out? Did Dan Friedkin come out and give some explosive interview and say every single Roma supporter and former player is crap, that Francesco Totti?
But it's always like that. I mean, so
that I missed? Was I in a coma? What was said?
You have to always saw this. It's like that. That's why I'm saying when I say that Juric should really reconsider his communicative strategy and also what his technical decisions, he needs to also consider that it's about making life easier, because as we can see, if the results are not there, if certain decisions are not made by popular choice, then it's a problem. In the long run, it comes back it haunts you, it creates quite a lot of tension inside the locker room as well. That's the thing. It's we always think that these things stay outside the gates of Trigoria, but that's not the case. Unfortunately, those things find their way in. They sneak their way into the dressing room. And someone like Mats Hummels, for example, can be unhappy. That can also have repercussions, not only on the image of the club, given that, hey, you know, you signed a big-time free agent, a guy who's won it all, and who are you to treat him this way, but also inside the dressing room. So, once again, we approach this match against Fiorentina with the mentality of we need to win at all costs. It's something that we will not be getting rid of anytime soon. This feeling of a perpetual search for victory, or rather, an obligation to win. It's something that we have to have, at least until the next international break. And the thought of it is daunting. It's scary because, as we see from tonight, this team is scared of its own shadow. And even a narrow victory over Dynamo Kiev is a big reason for happiness. It's a big reason for relief because these guys feel everything, the whole world coming down on them.
Well, the criticism we gave about Fiorentina, I can hear it now because we're going to get back. Have you watched them lately? This doesn't resemble the team of last season. And they're going to look at the recent results. Yeah, okay, they pumped Lecce. What was it? 6-0. Okay, yes, they beat Milan. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they also beat Lazio too. See, I of course, naturally, I should have these things pulled up. Just let me... Let
well, but we're talking. We're...
Yeah, okay, so I was right. Yes. Okay, so they've beaten. They have some impressive wins. Okay, they've beaten Milan. They've beaten Milan, Lazio. They won. They won today in the Conference League. And they have won how many in a row? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so they've won 5 of their last 6. Okay. I'm not going to go through each of those and say as if there's some sort of circumstance as to why they want. Listen, if anybody watched that Milan match, Milan was not good. Paolo Fonseca is somehow hanging on by a thread there. Lecce, I'm saying it now because naturally Roma will undoubtedly drop points to them. Lecce sucks. Yeah, this team could be had. I can't come on here and again.
But it's not, and every win. In this. But the problem is that we can say that about any team, really. The sort of conclusion has to always be Roma must come away with 3 points at this stage in their development. This team has to go on a run, so we have to start expecting them to win, to collect these points, to not have these constant ups and downs, to not have these lapses. And it is to be expected. So that's the irony is this team has played like crap this season. This team has been very disappointing this season. And yet at the same time, we must expect them to produce results, which doesn't make any sense. But this is the situation that we find ourselves in. And like Ivan Juric said, our players need to turn into beasts in order to climb their way out of it. They have to. This team has to be more cynical. This team has to learn to deal with its fears, because right now fear is winning. Tonight you come away with only 1 goal scored off a penalty, not because you didn't create chances, but because you were not cynical enough to convert the chances that mattered. That has to be something that we can say about basically any game so far this season. We must change this trend immediately, starting from Fiorentina, because again, very approachable match. Yes. and an opponent that despite the results that you see has also been very inconsistent and should be dealt with and has to be dealt with, because otherwise you got a real problem on your hands.
Yeah, this is something where you can just sort of feel it in the air that this is we're at the edge of the cliff And man, if things go bad in this upcoming stretch of matches, it's going to get very bad. Avoid that. Just get the win. I don't care. Even 1-0, man. If it's 1-0 at the weekend against Fiorentina, I'm here. I will actually bring champagne if that is the case. 1-0 against Fiorentina. We will remake the Marco Violi, GF and Tuaron. They have to do it. As you just said, you have to go on a run at some point. You have to. You screwed up the beginning of the season. In such an astounding and amazing way that you have to make up for it at some point, and it has to begin now. Has to begin now. We will keep our fingers crossed until the weekend against Fiorentina. Ciao.